discussing the negative aspects or the impediments to bhakti, then it discussed things, and then it went on to association with devotees and the different types of exchanges, etc. And then finally it described the differently respecting devotee, and then one who's serious, and then one who's elevated, and that it's no offense to faults in the devotee, like we. And then finally, the effect is that if we commit aparadhas, then we lose a taste, just like jaundice. Or, of course, if we don't have a taste to begin with in the beginning of devotional service, we end up with a sickness condition where we don't have a taste for the holy name. And the only remedy for that is to continue to take the holy name or chant the holy name, just as one has to take sugar candy to cure oneself from the disease, whatever. So the cure for lack of attraction to Krishna is chanting the holy name, even though we may not have attraction for it. So by gradually chanting, then we improve our situation and we develop a taste. So that was basically was stated there. So in this way, we develop a taste for the holy name. In conjunction with these previous instructions, all the way through verse 6, we can act according to the scriptures and the devotees. We support the devotees and we wear the Vaishnava aparadha. Then we chant the holy name and then we can develop a taste. The taste was rather prominently in those particular verses. So now we go to here. So will this work? Okay. So this discusses chanting process. It's the prominent processes of Acharya and Raghunuga Bhakti. If we look in the Nectar Devotion, for instance, so. Once it's been bring glorifying the Lord's name, form pastimes, living in Raja and following the footsteps of great devotees with great love for Krishna. Of course, bhakti as well. There's no restricting in Raja and concentrating on the holy name, of course, and following the footsteps of the great devotees in Vrindavan is one aspect of Raghunuga Bhakti, but it can also apply to the process of Vaidhi as well. It's mainly the mentality which will change in Raghunuga Bhakti. Of course, there's an emphasis here upon cultivating the holy name through glorifying Krishna's name, form, pastimes, etc. And, of course, developing a taste in one's mind through that. In other words, the previous verse discussed how we had to develop a taste. But that was by chanting itself, following the process we described. And then when we become steady, then we can engage our mind and tongue in remembering the glories of Krishna's name, form, pastimes, and Raja. Not a very controversial topic. Obviously, the whole process is to become more and more absorbed in Krishna, and particularly in chanting the holy name. So this can apply to any devotee, whether he's practicing Raghunuga Bhakti or not. However, we do see here the mention of Raja, and then in the next verses we find also this becomes expanded. So why Raja is because this is the place where Krishna performed his childhood pastimes. And we do know that Krishna has three places of pastimes in Vrindavan or Raja, in Mathura, and in Dwarka. So all of these pastimes are described in the Bhagavatam, particularly the 10th canto. So up until about chapter 40, we get the pastimes in Vrindavan. Then we get a few chapters on the pastimes in Mathura. And then the rest is the pastimes in Dwarka and Hastinapur, Kurukshetra, etc., other places. So they're all part of Krishna's pastimes, and Krishna is Swayam Bhagavan, so therefore they're all very special. However, as is pointed out by Rupa Goswami in Nectar Devotion, the form in Dwarka is called Purna, whereas the form in Mathura is called Purnatara, and the form in Vrindavan is called Purnatama. So the word Tara means is a comparative form, more. So Dwarka is complete or perfect in Krishna's form, but in Mathura it's more perfect, so there's a higher something extra there. And then Purnatama is superlative, most perfect. So in Vrindavan the form of Krishna is most perfect. So what this describes is the intensity of the rasa and the pastimes of Krishna in these different places. And if we analyze it, then we can understand why Dwarka is less than Mathura and Mathura is less than Vrindavan. So the reason is that the devotees of Mathura and Dwarka are conscious of Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and that respect for Krishna say, interferes or restricts their loving relationship with Krishna to some degree. And the awareness of Krishna as God becomes even more prominent in Dwarka than Mathura. Because there we have Krishna with 16,108 wives and great palaces, etc. So the surroundings are much more apt for seeing Krishna as a Supreme Lord with grandeur. And less so in Mathura, even in spite of the fact it's the same people living in both places. So the restriction is there because if one sees Krishna as God, one gives great respect to him, and this will interfere with the different relationships like Vatsalya or Madhurya or Dasya or Sakya. And the are less intimate because of that. So thus we have Vasudeva and Devaki. They have Vatsalya Rasa for Krishna. And Nanda and Yasoda have Vatsalya Rasa for Krishna. What is the difference? So in Mathura and Dwarka, Vasudeva and Devaki take Krishna as their son, but also see him as Supreme Lord. So therefore, that Vatsalya is restricted because of that. And there's certain things they will not do with Krishna because they know he's Supreme Lord. Whereas in Vrindavan, Mother Yasoda and Krishna don't see Krishna as Supreme Lord, so they treat him exactly like a child. And the affection of Vatsalya becomes stronger because of that. So that's the difference. So that goes for all of the rasas, whereas Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya, or even Shanta. So, therefore, the form in Krishna is, we can say, is the most perfect form because of that. And this becomes the ideal for some of the devotees. Not all the devotees, but some of the devotees. They're more attracted to Krishna in Vrindavan than in the other places. So, then, how do we develop that mood of thinking of Krishna and Vrindavan and developing the same mood as the people of Vrindavan? So the sadhana to do that is called Raganuga, where there is less emphasis upon the rules of and regulations and consequently seeing Krishna as Supreme Lord. It does not mean that we give up rules and regulations, but there is more emphasis upon the developing a very intimate relationship with Krishna, such as the people of Vrindavan. So that's why we say they follow after those devotees. This anuga. Ga means to go, anu means following after. So you follow after raga. It actually means the ragatmaka bhaktas. So that means one follows after the sentiments of the people of Vrindavan, whatever. It could be Vatsalya, Madhurya, or whatever. Or even Dasya. So with a similar mood, that is, we don't see Krishna as God. We see him as friend or lover or child, etc. So that is cultivated there. In Vaidhi Bhakti, one can do that. But Vaidhi Bhakti means we are bound by the rules and regulations and inspired by the rules and regulations rather than by the spontaneous love of the similar to the people of Vrindavan. So the impetus is a little different. Because of that, then even if one worships Krishna, as one advances, one's relationship is somewhat formal. And one tends to give him great respect and regard him as Supreme Lord because of this emphasis on the rules and regulations, etc. So that when one realizes Krishna and Bhava and Prema, it is also affected by that, the Vaidhi, and one sees him as Supreme Lord. So therefore, there's a dilution of the rasa to some degree. An argument comes up, of course, that if we were to worship Krishna in Vrindavan, but we do it through Vaidhi Bhakti, would we go to Dwarka or Mathura? Because we're not worshipping a Mathura Krishna or a Dwarka Krishna. And definitely, if to worship Krishna in Dwarka, in a different rasa like Madhurya or Vatsalya, etc., then, yes, one would go to Dwarka and become like a parent or become like a queen, etc., or friend, whatever. But if one is worshipping Krishna in Vrindavan, the Vrindavan form, why would one go there? So then the answer is, there's another Vrindavan called Aishwarya Goloka, where one will go and see Krishna as a cowherd boy. So he's exactly like the one that you worship in Raghunuga Bhakti. But the end result is that you worship Krishna, but you do also see him as Supreme Lord. So, in Vrindavan. So it's Vrindavan with Aishwarya, so they call it Aishwarya Goloka. Of course, some people say, well, not much difference, so any Krishna is okay for me. That's also okay. But, of course, the emphasis of Lord Chaitanya is upon the Raja Krishna with the non-Aishwarya aspect. So, to get that, then we follow after the inhabitants of Raja itself, without the Vaidhi. So Raghunuga is not the realization. It is a sadhana to attain bhava and prema. Enter into the pattern. So in doing that, then there are activities. Actually, the activities are quite similar to the activities in Vaidhi, but the mentality is a major factor there. So externally, then one chants the deity, etc. So externally, many of the activity angas of bhakti, of Vaidhi bhakti, are the same in bhakti. And to some degree, the same rules apply also. Remembrance is a Vaidhi bhakti also, smaranam. Prominent here in the Raghunuga sadhana. So when the qualities of Krishna, along with the chanting the name of Krishna. So this becomes a prominent process. We can say more prominent, let's say, than deity worship. Well, deity worship is not rejected, but also speaking as quite prominent. In Vaidhi Bhakti, we do have quite a prominence of deity worship and less of smaranam, it looks like, for most devotees. Of course, in Vaidhi Bhakti also, one could do smaranam prominent also. It's nothing wrong with it. However, the difference in the smaranam here is remembrance of Krishna in his Vrindavan pastimes only. So, in other words, one gravitates towards the Krishna who is without the, let's say, great respect as Supreme Lord. So, this is the internal service. So, we have the external aspect following the angas of bhakti, much like Vaidhi bhakti, and then the internal service where one cultivates a relationship also with Krishna in remembering those pastimes. And it also mentioned living in Raja. So this is a very prominent feature. For us, we may not think it is so important, but in relation to Raghunuga Bhakti. And, of course, one of the preliminary angas, Dorthu Bhakti, is to live in a hole like that, like the Ganga, near the Ganga, or in the living place also is emphasized, even in Vaidhi Bhakti, what to speak of Raghunuga. But in Raghunuga, because that's the place of Krishna, ultimate pastimes. So, in other words, in how we develop our criticized by the fact that it's one of the preliminary angas, the Dorthu Bhakti. that the environment is very important for us. Bhakti then, it's following in the footsteps of the Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. So ragatmaka literally means that they are raga, and then raga absorption in the object of love. You don't see Krishna as supreme lord or anything like that, just completely absorbed in Krishna. Huh? So it refers to the people of Vrindavan. Mm-hmm. And it could be any of the rasas. It's not only Madhurya rasa. So we can cultivate Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya rasas in relation to Vrindavan. So, how does one follow in the footsteps? How does one follow after or follow these particular persons? Of course, one can do that very generally and follow everybody and just have a similar mood. That's also acceptable. But then, one may choose particular individuals and particular rasa, and one follows them, which means that one will concentrate on their mode of service, how they do service, etc. And one becomes more and more absorbed in that. So this is also internal. Internally, serving like the, let's say, Sakya rasa, like the cowherd boys serve Krishna in the same way. So when we do that, then that leads to meditation upon serving Krishna in a certain rasa with certain devotees. And then that takes place throughout the day. It's not just one time. So different parts of the day, there's different services. So the cowherd boys do one service in the morning, some slightly different service in the forenoon, at noontime, afternoon, evening, slightly different. So consequently, one will meditate on the pastimes and serving in the pastimes during the different parts of the day in any particular rasa. As far as Raghunuga Sadhana is concerned, it goes through different stages. So these are mentioned in the Nectar Upadeshamrita and also in other places. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions in Chaitanya Shikshamrita and in Harinam Chintamani and other places as well. So this first stage is called Shravana Dasa. So this is like just like in Vaidhi Bhakti, you hear instructions on Sadhana Sadhya. Obviously, if it's Shravana Dasa, then the concentration is upon more the pastimes and instructions in relation to Krishna and Vrindavan. And to begin to chant continuously without offense. So, Varana, which literally means acceptance, this is if one is can concentrate the mind nicely on Krishna, then one meditates on one's Siddha Rupa. That this is the form one aspires for in a particular rasa in Vrindavan. So it could be a cowherd boy, it could be an elder gopa or gopi, it could be a gopi, it could be a saki, it could be a manjari, or whatever, it could be a servant, etc. So the guru will give instructions on this. It may be the diksha guru, could be a shiksha guru or someone else. And in fact, in Raghuvarta Machandrika, there Vishnu Shasi, it could be internal, not given by any particular person, but internally one develops an attraction, so one meditates on that. So this is how one follows after the Brajabasis, by developing one's own future form and trying to serve in that form. We know in even in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that whatever you think of when you die, you attain that, or whatever. So whatever you think of, you become. And we also have the idea that the example is given of the insect that's caught by the wasp and encaged in a little hole, whatever, like that, and plugged up. So that little insect is very frightened of the wasp, and it's always thinking of the wasp in fear. And then finally, after some time, you open the little hole, he became a wasp because he was thinking of the wasp. So that's an example used to show how Sisupala or someone got spiritual forms in the spiritual world, something like the forearm form of Vishnu or whatever like that, like because they were always thinking of the Lord in hatred, they became a form like that. So of course if we do positively it's better. So that's not actually bhakti, but it's mercy to demons. So if we do favorably, then fine. So if you concentrate on a certain form, you attain that form. So that's the basic logic here. However, even if you don't follow that, one can advance, as they do in sadhana bhakti. Sishupala was not thinking of a siddha deha or anything. He was just thinking of the form of the Lord in hatred, that's all. In any case, one who does vaidhi bhakti in any sampradaya, if they get prema, then they go to the spiritual world and they have a spiritual body anyway. Even if they didn't think about a particular form or whatever. Eventually they get a body in the spiritual world. So it's... However, it is explained that this is a way of quickening the process, more or less, because one can concentrate on a certain form in a certain way, so one can advance more quickly in a certain direction. So it'll be a little more intense, that's all. So in the nectar devotion, of course, the Siddha Rupa is mentioned also, like that. He doesn't go into details, however, about it. He says Siddha Rupa, so that's the internal. Then, after the varana that you get from guru or internally, whatever, then you get the smarana dasa, remembering the pastimes of Krishna. In the beginning, the mind will wander. When you can control it more, it's called dharana, as in the yoga system. So the mind does not wander. Then it becomes jhana, completely absorbed for some period of time. And then anusmriti, more complete. Memory of the Lord or meditation, intense meditation. Samadhi means with no effort at all, one simply enters into the pastimes of the Lord in that particular body. And then apanadasa, which means then finally that what was the siddha day of meditation becomes your sarup, that becomes in a spiritual body. Even if you have a material body, internally you've manifested your siddha. And while chanting then, that manifests. That's called apanadasa. So and then serve the Lord directly in the form, and that's bhava, we can say. And sampati is give up the material body completely and just have the spiritual body in the spiritual world. So that's the final stage. Stosiddhi. Oops. Okay, so these are the different stages of... So as I mentioned, that even if one didn't do this Prajna and Vrindavan, one can still develop. And eventually, of course, one can go to these Goloka in the spiritual world, or Raja in the spiritual world, because ultimately everything's under the mercy of Krishna anyway, just as he takes... even demons get to the spiritual world by his mercy, so what to speak of devotees at a certain stage then. If they can't perfect the system of Siddha Rupa, etc., but they're sincere devotees, and gradually they begin to develop, and Krishna helps them out in whatever way is necessary. A particular process was evolved by Gopal Guru Goswami and Dhyan Chandra, who were in a line from Vrikashwar Pandit, I think it is. So they wrote a Padati, Gaur Gobind Archana Padati, I think it is. And there they give Ekadas Bhavas only for manjaris. So what type of manjari you become? So the guru gives you instruction on 11 factors: your age, your name, your color, your address, etc., service, all these different factors as an aid to the meditation. Not mentioned by Vishnu Chakravarti directly, as far as I've read, that the whole system, or by even Rupa Goswami. He simply says, okay, Siddha Deha, etc. But this was codified by them and it became quite popular. And many of the different lines, like Gopal Bhatta's line, or Nityananda's line, or through Janava, and Advaitacharya's line, it seems they carry on this whole process with what we call the Siddha Pranali, developed in that mode. And most of it is Manjari Bhava. There were some other people in Sakya Bhava, the followers of Nityananda, who were considered to be Gopals, 12 Gopals in his pastime. So Nayanananda wrote one parati for the Sakya Rasa there on, and then he glorifies the different cowherd boys like Subal and Sridham, etc. And it's a similar type of thing. Their form, meditate on their form, meditate on their pastime, meditate on the similar type of service, etc. In 8 parts of the day again, so very similar. As for Vatsalya, I don't think there's a padati there. I've never seen one. But the whole of the Vallabha Sampradaya actually is Raganuga with Vatsalya. So everybody just gets Raganuga Vatsalya Rasa is there. It's their whole sadhana. There's no choice there. It's all Vatsalya Raganuga. No Vaidhi Bhakti. So, in this way, there's different methods of developing one's Raganuga, whether we take the Siddha Pranali or not the Siddha Pranali, whatever. And you, when you concentrate, then you will develop a certain form, etc., which you call the Siddha Rupa, and you use that too. So that is the sadhana. And it's a sadhana. It's not perfection. It's just another sadhana. And it's a way of quickly advancing to get into the pastimes of Krishna and Raja. Okay.
Oh, the difference on Vaidhi and Raganuga, as you said, that the quickening of advancing can happen during pastimes of Krishna gradually. Then they may not focus very specifically, or they may get attracted to a particular rasa, but they might not know how to develop that rasa. In that case, also you were telling that if we are not fixed upon any rasa, then we get sort, and therefore in the spiritual world, even if at all we get perfection, so that will be like, we will be like tree or plant or something, because no specific rasa has been developed. So is that not correct?
Well, in Vaidhi Bhakti, there's no prohibition to concentrate on a certain rasa also, one could. The only difference would be you would go to Aishwarya Goloka, that's all. that's the only difference. With Aishwarya Goloka or Goloka, that's the option. So theoretically you could do that. You could develop through Vaidhi Bhakti and cultivate a certain rasa also. As for people that don't, they end up in a position where they have a weak type of rasa, which is like a type of shanta rasa, where periodically different types of rasa can even manifest, but in a very mild form. It was given in the Nectar Devotion, when it talks about shanta rasa, that there's a form. Sometimes they may dasya rasa, you know, like that, but nothing very strong. So it's a type of shanta. And usually they are humans. They don't mention about the plants and animals, except Rupa Goswami says that generally it's a projection of rasa upon plants and animals by the gopis or others out of intense rasa, so they take them as having some sort of rasa also. But then he also explains that generally rasa can only take place between two members of the same species, because they can communicate properly, etc. So we'll find that a lot of the rasa, Madhurya rasa, is through their conversations where they joke together and they make puns and they, you know, they express themselves in very subtle ways. So that produces rasa. That's why we have, we can say even in Western, let's say drama, that the rasa is created by the words, and the words are not just, you know, black and white words. They're all very subtly nuanced this way and that way with meaning and feeling, etc., and Shakespeare or whatever. And that gives rise to the interest in the whole character like that. So that's what happens in rasa. It's not just black and white. There's all sorts of nuances and relationship between the characters, the Krishna and the devotee. So that can't really develop between the animal and the human being, or the plant and the human being. Technically, of course, they're spiritual, whatever. But as far as pastime, they don't display all. So the plants and animals don't characters as human beings. So they don't talk like human beings in normal cases, and they don't express the same type of feelings together like that. So therefore, they say it's not a real.
So then, who takes that position of animals and plants?
That's not really mentioned like that.
So they're like eternally present.
Yeah.
There's no sadhana.
Some people do, devotees do mention, like I think Bhan Maharaj calls it Shantarasa Prabhupada, but also I think it's Shantarasa. In one sense we can say it is, because there's some sort of relationship with Krishna, but the realization and the ecstasy is quite mild, we can say. So the examples of Shantarasa given in Nectar Devotion are all humans. Yeah.
So we won't expect a devotee to meditate on a cow, for example, in Vrindavan. Oh,
you could, but then your relationship would be very remote with rasa. So it's not preferable. So even Shantarasa, we don't prefer that. So even though it's there in nectar devotion as one rasa, we don't see that in Raganu. But we do see the other ones, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, or Madhurya, could be Raganuga, but Shanta, really.
I want to also ask this. Vaidhi, when one is doing, is it not that one's focus on the bhakti process itself, as well as Krishna specifically, is sort of very weak? And of course, one gets into bhakti because of guru's instructions or association. But one's own personal interest might be less, as we say that the faith has not yet developed properly. Only one starts thinking on Raganuga, etc., only when the attraction to the Lord increases. Is it like...
Not really. The faith, it all depends on faith. You could practice Raganuga, the weak faith also. You could do it. But it may not be very effective. And you could also practice Vaidhi Bhakti with weak faith. Again, it may not be so effective. But if the faith is strong either way, then it develops nicely. So it's not so much on whether it's Raganuga or Vaidhi Bhakti, but it's the strength of the faith and the ability to follow the particular process nicely, and then you develop.
So then what would make a person think, when there is an option of two choices, would make a person think that I'll just take the Vaidhi only, not the Raganuga, if it's only development of faith?
Well, usually it's association. In association, then they go in that direction. But of course, you choose your association also. So those that choose Vaidhi Bhakti, generally they'll choose Sri Sampradaya or Madhva Sampradaya rather than our Sampradaya. If they're in Raganuga, they may choose Vallabha or Gaudiya Sampradaya, maybe, or maybe Nambarka also. I'm not sure what there is, but like that. So,
So that now if we say that all ISKCON devotees are Gaudiyas, then by default it means that they would at one point of time start thinking of Raganuga practice. Is it correct then?
Well, in one sense, the whole movement was Raganuga. And they didn't think of anything else. They didn't think it was anything else. Identity was nothing else. It wasn't called Vaidhi Bhakti in one sense. It was Raganuga. So all of these different lines from the different acharyas, generally they emphasized Raganuga. And as I said, they'd had the Siddha Pranala and everything in those lines like that. So it was Raganuga. So only when Bhaktisiddhanta came along, then he emphasized more the Vaidhi Bhakti, because he saw that people weren't following the Raganuga properly, and it led to all sorts of upa sampradayas.
At present, what would you... Could you give us a development of an ISKCON devotee? How would it proceed or progress naturally towards Raganuga?
Well, we assess in one sense, even though in Bhaktisiddhanta's movement and in our movement of the Prabhupada, though we do emphasize the Vaidhi aspect, it's not devoid of Raganuga in the sense that, one, the main object is Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, not in Dwarka, and not even Aishwarya Goloka. So the object is Radha and Krishna. We have Bhagavatam, and the emphasis is on Bhagavatam. We have Bhagavatam class every day, and they're the center of the Bhagavatam's 10th canto with Krishna again and Vrindavan pastimes. So in one sense, we're hearing the pastimes of Krishna, chanting his name, chanting the name Radha Krishna, Hare Krishna, etc. So basically, a lot of the elements that we're doing with a Vaidhi type of mentality are elements that are easily the same elements as Raganuga. So this is not much different. It's only the mentality that we have to shift over. That's all.
So when would that happen naturally?
That's up to the individual. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Or, as you said, Gaudiyas will do Raganuga sadhana.
Of course, there's a mixture also. Jiva Goswami says you can mix the two. If you feel you cannot do the Raganuga, which, as I said, puts an emphasis on Smaranam a lot, and living in Vrindavan, you can't live in Vrindavan, you can't do the Smaranam very nicely, then you can mix the two together, and you can have the elements of Krishna there, but not live in Vrindavan, and have less Smarana or whatever, and do more deity worship or whatever like that, with the same mood of trying to develop that spontaneous relationship. So that would be a mixture, for instance.
Either of the case, Maharaj, one has to think of relationship with Krishna, isn't it?
Yeah, like, whether it's Vaidhi or Raganuga, yeah. Definitely. So, otherwise, it's not bhakti. It's just rules and regulations with no bhakti.
So that's what I was wanting to ask. Like, how does it happen that a devotee naturally would progress towards thinking about one's relationship with Krishna? How would it happen? Because I don't see that many...
Well, it starts with faith. Because faith means a conviction in the existence of the Supreme Lord. So and we are the servant of the Lord. So obviously there has to be a relationship there. And then the whole cultivation of Uttama Bhakti is Krishna Anusilana. And as I mentioned previously, if that's not there, then you can hear and chant and remember, but we don't really call it bhakti. It's more like a bhas at best.
Yeah? What I see is most devotees never think on that they have to actually develop a relationship. They feel like, okay, I'm doing process, the process is there, and it's just go on.
Yeah, that's why we also need prayojana. We can't have a sadhana without a prayojana. No, abhidhya with no prayojana doesn't work. And that's included in the sadhana itself when we say we are trying to cultivate a relationship with Krishna, which goes from sadhana bhava to prema.
So, Maharaj, you answered quite a lot of questions on yourself on the Siddha Rupa. But just to clarify, as you always say, that this is just a sadhana, it's not a perfection anyways. So also you say that it's a choice generally either the guru will make or the person will make internally. So what are the chances of error? Like, I mean, is there possibility of some error that I probably chose a particular form, but that's not the form which I wish to do?
Like, then you change,
that's all.
I think he explains that in Harinam Chintamani, that if you get the form from the guru and you try it and it doesn't work out right, then you go back to the guru and say, this isn't working. So then he gives you a different form. Experiment.
Internally, one is, because now since the Siddha Pranali, which came from Vakreshwar and Dhyanachandra, etc., didn't so much get emphasized through Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta, more or less the Swarup Damodar Goswami and Rupa Goswami's method of internal development, you know, that internal attraction of the devotee himself, which gets nourished by hearing and chanting. That is what if we do, then there is still a chance of error, or is it like we just get attracted and we just follow that and we don't have to think too much about whether this is right or wrong?
Yeah, we can say that. Now, the Siddha Pranani also is something like Vaidhi Bhakti. It gives you a form, but without the relationship, cultivating the relationship, it's also meaningless. So this is why Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati was critical of that whole method, because it became only the form, and they would get their Siddha Pranali and that was it, and then say, okay, now we got perfection, but they didn't try to cultivate it. So then it became simply empty form. It's like a name, or what's that? You got initiation, but you're not Siddha Pranali, but we're not meditating, doing smaranam and cultivating the relationship properly in service. Name only, form only without the content. So that's why he criticized it.
Asking that the difficulty of or the doubt of whether this could be not the particular form in the spiritual world which I would like to serve with. So is that like we should be very thought, like should we keep thinking on that, or we just say, okay, this particular devotee we are attracted to in Vrindavan and we just follow? That's how should one be.
Well, generally what happens is that what you concentrate on, that develops and develops, and of course because it's spiritual, then it becomes more and more blissful. So then you attain that, and it's blissful. So you don't want to think of anything else. So what you aspire for as your goal for many lifetimes, you get it, and then you're satisfied with it. That's all.
So, also Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, we don't find them that their meditation, etc., is individual quite a lot. But whereas we find that they are more or less always together, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they would want to be together. the difference between Goshthyanandi and Bhajanandi. So they would like to be together discussing Krishna Katha, maybe similar types of moods, similar types of pastimes. And of course they were writing also. And what I heard is they would help each other to write the books. So is it not that Raganuga Sadhana is more practiced, much better when there is a group of devotees than an individual?
Well, it could go either way. Either way. So the Babaji's more or less are separate, whatever. But even then they have ghosties, so it's not that they're always alone, whatever. But because you have to do smart on them, that's an individual thing. So that makes it one sense, you know, solitary or whatever, for that reason. Otherwise, there's no thing, you have to be alone or whatever, even in for the Babaji or whatever. On the other hand, the origin of the Babajis did not give the Siddha Pranali. They got it from the Goswami lines. So they were the ones who initiated and gave Siddha Pranali to them. Later on, they became a little independent, started giving it themselves. But actually, originally, I don't think they did this. This 20th century, they do that. But before, I think it was all the Goswami lines only they gave. And the Goswamis were grihasthas. So they were more or less living in society also.
Also, from the previous verse, I have one question, and then maybe other devotees can ask. When you say the faults of the faults of the devotee should not be like ninda, that the whole Ganga Bhasamna Khalu Budbuddha, just like there is a bubble in the Ganges, that's not maligned. We don't malign Ganges. Oh, there is bubble. You know? So we say it's pure. So what all things in the Vaishnava we should ignore? As that's not the fault, and what all things we might be also concerned and we have to help improve.
Oh, I think I give a list there. So if one criticizes because of varna or ashrama, he's a grihastha, he should be a babaji or sannyasi, or varna, he's a sudra or a brahmana, or he's a chandala, he's not a brahmana. These are bodily considerations, so those are very obvious ones for as far as varna ashrama is concerned. Then we have criticisms of previous sinful activity before I became a devotee. So we think he's a lesser devotee because he was in jail before or something like that. Then, okay, then, you know, that's not right. So we're looking at his present status, not his past activities. And to see faults in him, even there may be faults, but the understanding is the faults will disappear with the process of bhakti. So everybody has faults. So if we just concentrate on everybody's faults, then this is useless. So rather than concentrate on faults, we concentrate on the good qualities of the person, and we don't look at those faults. Of course, then we have the other idea that obviously if people are not doing bhakti properly, then it is a fault also, so we cannot ignore that as well. So that's different. That's not fault-finding unnecessarily. It's sort of, you know, proper guidance, so it's different. And then even if a person does commit a sinful activity or has a fault, whatever, then we don't condemn that devotee again. Because Krishna says, sadareva samantavya. So again, we accept him as a devotee as long as he... Those are some of the things.
Any other
questions? Guru Maharaj? Unless until the mercy of the Guru and Krishna is there, whatever may a soul can set as its goal through Raghana Bhakti or Vaidhi Bhakti to attain Krishna in the form of Radha Krishna or in Dwaraka, wherever it is, that is not possible unless until the soul has the mercy of the Guru and Krishna himself. But Krishna is omnipotent and omnipresent. He has different moods exhibited at different times. Irrespective of the place where he is, whether it is Mathura, Goloka or Vrindavan. So is it possible for Krishna to empower a soul to be like him, like omnipotent, wherever it is, and whatever the mood Krishna has, the same mood it can have, because the ultimate goal of the soul is only to serve Krishna for his pleasure.
Well, he has expansion, so is Krishna in every universe. And Krishna has other avatar forms, etc. So these are his direct expansions. Otherwise, he empowers jivas. So devotees are empowered jivas to distribute bhakti. So that's his normal process. But then he also has his own expansions or whatever like that.
Since that the expansions, they have only a particular type of mood in their particular... that's like Krishna has different moods, like in... Mathura, he has a different mood. Dwaraka, he has a different mood. And Vrindavan, he has a different mood. The devotees are segregated, actually. The souls are segregated according to the moods, what they can develop and what they can have. But Krishna is an omnipotent and omnipresent. He can have the same mood in different places. Irrespective of Dwaraka, he can have a Madhurya Bhava or Madhurya Rasa. So is the soul is also empowered to change its mood like that, or it's only a particular chosen mood he can have.
Well, he's not the same in Krishna that he can expand himself and be in all different places at once or in different lokas and with different avatar forms, except by the will of Krishna. So he can't have the same powers. That defines God as separate from Jiva, as different.
Maharaj, in the continuation with the previous question, if devotees are practicing in association, is it not that the progress will become much more swifter?
Usually the case, yeah. When there is an emphasis upon renunciation, generally, it doesn't mean renounce devotees, it means renounce material society. But then some people take that as renounce everybody, but that's not actually true. So that's why I said even in Vrindavan, the Babajis, they renounce material society, but that doesn't mean they don't renounce each other. So they do have discussions about Krishna, etc.
Maharaj, you were telling about Shantaras, so I had one doubt in that. Like, Madhavendra Puri is said to be a tree in the spiritual world.
Uh-huh.
So, like...
Desire tree, I think.
Desire tree.
Yes, desire. Special tree. Okay. Why desire tree, I don't know. But anyway, that's mentioned in, I think, Gorganesh Deepika. Why, I don't know. It doesn't really explain it either. But it's special, obviously.
So he's not in Shantaras, or he's in higher rasa?
Yeah, he should be in Madhurya rasa. Okay.
Maharaj, we are not supposed to have a direct conjugal relationship with Krishna. Then what is the meaning of following in the mood of the gopis?
Well, one could, theoretically, but we follow after the Goswamis, so we follow after them. So that's our Madhurya rasa, following the Manjaris.
Maharaj, one question. It's not directly in the context. Regarding relationship with other devotees, so sometimes we are said that we should be humble, grateful towards devotees. But there is a specifically with superiors, when, let us say, they chastise us or when they sort of see some fault in us, then sometimes towards them become little bitter feelings. So how do we remove that and maintain the gratitude and learn from them, whatever is it?
Well, I can say we should have tolerance. I think it's mentioned that we should be, should have enthusiasm and determination and tolerance and forgiveness. All these things are basic things and which are, we can say, obviously aspects of humility. We see the instruction of Lord Chaitanya is to be humbler than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree. And don't expect respect and give respect. So that becomes integral to our very cultivation of bhakti, then there won't be any problem for all these different so-called things, that, circumstances that appear in our...
So basically you're saying that we can focus on the... our cultivation of bhakti, then
in the proper mood, then everything should adjust. Okay. Yeah.
There is a question. He's asking, what is the role of Lord Chaitanya in beginning Raganuga Sadhana?
Well, we can say that Lord Chaitanya, in the process of deity worship, for instance, if we're going to worship Radha Krishna, first we have to worship Lord Chaitanya. So we go through Lord Chaitanya to get to Krishna in general and Radha Krishna particularly in Vrindavan. So that's our point, that we go through Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we have to get his mercy first to get into it.
And he's asking, what I should do now to receive the highest perfection which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give? Which sadhana one should do?
Well, that's each individual's choice, actually. And it may not be, it's not something you have to decide immediately. As you progress in Krishna consciousness, then you can make your decisions. At least we're going in the right direction. And then we make, just like you go to elementary school, at that time you're not deciding on your PhD or anything. It's only when you get to the end of, maybe not even at the end of high school, you don't even decide on your PhD yet. It's only after you get to the MA that you decide on your PhD or MSc or whatever, that you decide on your PhD. So as you progress, then you can make more detailed decisions.
So what is a PhD in this context?
Well, that would be your Siddha Sarup or whatever like that, and your particular Rasa, etc.
PhD means that one has to get into Raga, Raganuga, and than a particular rasa.
And you may not. You may choose to do Vaidhi Bhakti and go to Aishwarya Goloka also.
Because he's asking that what should I do to receive the highest perfection which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to give?
Then it would be Madhurya Bhava or Sakhi Bhava or Madhurya Bhava or Manjari Bhava or something like that.
Okay. Which he need not right now think about, but he should progress and at a particular time he will
be. So even in Lord Chaitanya's movement, not everybody was in Madhurya Bhava. There was Sakya, there was Vatsalya, there was all these different things. So it's not everybody has to, even if they're associates of Lord Chaitanya. They may develop something different also.
If we don't do Raganuga but continue Vaidhi, we will get a spiritual body at the end, but will we be getting a particular rasa also because we are not focusing on anything?
You can concentrate on particular rasa also, even in Vaidhi Bhakti. The only difference is your awe and veneration is also there.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to Aishwarya Goloka. Mm-hmm. There you can be a gopi, a manjari, an elder, a sakha, or a servant also. Mm-hmm. The same options are there.
Also he's saying that because we have heard so much about Krishna's supremacy, then how one cannot remember Krishna as Supreme Lord?
Wow. So this is why they practice Raganuga Sadhana, to meditate more on the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan.
Okay.
And then you forget about all that. But it's necessary as a basis. Because if we don't accept ourselves as a servant of Krishna, then all of this doesn't also make sense. If we don't have any sambandha gyan and we do Raganuga, then we fail. We try to become, you know, the gopis or whatever, the same as Radharani or whatever like that. And you get all sorts of misconceptions.
Also, he's saying that which form of Krishna should we meditate, because the deities also might have imperfections, different deities are different, different paintings are different. So which Krishna, what we should meditate on, what we should imagine?
Well, that's an individual choice again. And of course, because Krishna is absolute, they're all one anyway. So one becomes the other.
Any other question anyone has? Yes.
Maharaj Prabhupada says that one should know the greatness of the Lord first before we know the sweetness. Does it mean like one should do Vaidhi sadhana first then before one does Raganuga sadhana?
Well, that's why Bhakti Siddhanta emphasized that. Of course, technically speaking, one could start Raganuga with that attraction, but that does not mean that he shouldn't have the knowledge also. So in any case, you should have the philosophical knowledge of sambandha, even if you're going to practice Raganuga. Yeah, and if we don't know the difference in Krishna and Jiva, it's impossible to practice any bhakti. Yeah? So we do have to have some sambandha again also.
Last question. I heard in the lecture of Kishorina Sadhana Swami Maharaj about a devotee. She got cancer. She's living in UK. And during her cancer stay, her form and everything got, Maharaj says that her form and everything got revealed to her.
Mm-hmm.
So is it like special mercy that she got, or like, he didn't mention that she followed Raganuga Bhakti or anything?
Yeah, can. As I said, it can be internal revelation also. It can be there.